From the LiveX studios in New York City, Cheesehead TV brings you two guys who like to think they know something about football.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome back to Packer Transplants Live. I am Aaron Nagler, and joining me, as always, is Mr. Corey Banky, my partner here at Cheesehead TV. I'm coming to you live from the Cheesehead TV podcast studio in Midtown Manhattan. Corey joins us live from Green Bay, Wisconsin, across the street from Lambeau Field, and we are ready to talk some Packers. What do we have on tap today, Corey?
Today, we put on another game in the W column and get ready for a trip to London to watch the Packers take on the Giants. But right now, it's time for the good, the bad, and the ugly. We got the good. We got
Rashawn Bane Gary.
We got the bad. We got
Joe Lightbox Barry.
We got the ugly. We got
a Rodgers pick six in this economy? Can't handle that, Banky. Cannot handle that.
Yeah, well, inflation is high and recession is coming, so, you know. Got to get a Rodgers pick six in.
Got to get it in the bloodstream. How you doing, Banky? How's your Tuesday, special Tuesday edition of Packer Transplants? How you doing?
Good. Getting ready for London, leaving tomorrow for London, and you're just following me. You're just following me.
I'm
like,
about 24 hours behind
along.
You. There, yep. Too. Okay. Oh, is that just, I guess, can I just say real quickly, it's absolutely amazing that we're going to London. And I got to thank you because, you know, you didn't need to go all in like you are with Cheesehead TV going to London, but you did. And I really appreciate it because I'm really excited.
Well, I'm very excited. I had to change my return trip, and I don't even want to talk about how many miles that it's going to cost me. But, you know, Nagler, I'm going to be sitting. It's going to be nice. It's going to be nice. We're going to have fun. And, you know, potentially we're going to be doing a watch party for the Jets game. I'll be in Japan during that. So we were
in Japan. Corey Banky is going to be live from Japan in the middle of the damn night. And I'm going to be in Green Bay. That's the weird part.
Yeah, I'm going to be very depressed because this is going to be the first time in 7 years that I'm going to miss a Packers home game in Lambeau.
That's nuts, dude. But that speaks to the importance of the trip, I would say. But we are off topic already. We all know we got to start one place and one place only.
True.
Ladies and gentlemen,
I haven't seen this clip. I'm excited.
It is time for the hotness. For the hotness. That's right. Look, there are always plenty of great clips you could choose, great moments, great narratives, what have you. Something that escaped my attention during the watch party when we saw this live, but I absolutely was mesmerized by when I watched it back, was this clip. You've seen the Romeo Doubs TD, but I want people to pay attention to what happens just after it. If we could roll this clip. Romeo Doubs, back shoulder. Now, first of all, what an adjustment from the rookie. Look at this from Rodgers. Now, like, slow it down a little bit. We'll just jump up, 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 up. Now, he does what he does here. Catches perfect. And now, watch this. Watch this spin. What? Like a gangster. He's just like, that's a touchdown. What's up? That's so hot. I love it. I love that. That's somebody who's like, I've done this a million times. Even though it's like, you know, back shoulder touchdown from Aaron Rodgers. But he's just like, nothing. Spin the ball. Touchdown. Hotness, people. That is some hotness. I'm all about it. We got to get to the Packers news, Corey. There's always news. Always stuff percolating. Mm-hmm. Starting with this nugget, which I found fascinating. Would have been nice to get this a few weeks ago if the Packers hadn't blown it in Minnesota. But this win over the Patriots that we just witnessed on Sunday moves the Packers into a tie with the Chicago Bears for all-time wins. That's right.
What?
The wins in the history, the entirety of the league.
What?
The Bears had always been ahead of the Packers, but they are now tied at 785. Because the Bears lost and the Packers won on Sunday, they are now tied. So now, obviously, we just need one more win and the Bears to lose for the Packers to take the lead all time. That's exciting. You know, again, the Bears still suck. So there you go.
You know what? You know what I'm drinking over here?
Look at that. That's what I'm talking about. That's what I'm talking about, sir.
Yeah, let's go.
Salud,
let's
brother.
Go. All-time winners. Drink carry the G. Let's go.
That is absolutely correct. We just watched Romeo Doubs score a touchdown. He is the first Packers rookie wide receiver to score a touchdown in consecutive weeks since 2006. 2006. Do you know who did it? You know who did it in 2006? Who was a rookie in 2006?
I don't.
It was Greg Jennings. He's the first rookie Packers wide receiver.
I was going to guess Javon Walker, but that was a little earlier, wasn't it?
Yep. Yeah, it was. But that's not a crazy guess. But yeah, first time since Greg Jennings' rookie year that a Packers wide receiver has scored a touchdown in back-to-back weeks. That's pretty phenomenal. That's good company to keep right there.
This is going to be the third time on this show where I'm going to say something where I remember on the first Packer transplants, I believe one of my predictions was Romeo Doubs is going to take first number one wide receiver. Number one
wide receiver. 100%.
Got a lot of shade for that. I got a lot of, you don't know what you're talking about. Kind of the same thing I get when I tell radio guys it's going to be 45-0. They just look at me like, haha, you're funny.
I will say, though, now you're making me want to go back and watch that segment just so I can – call some of the other predictions you made.
You can see the scowl on your face that you're going to pull.
Hardly. I was in on that prediction. I agreed, man. I thought he was great all camp. I don't think that's a crazy prediction.
I mean, rookie's good in camp and then they keep being good.
Right.
And it is rare. Very rare.
I just want to know what other predictions you made that you are clearly ignoring.
I think that was my only prediction. I think that's how good. I think that was the only prediction.
That conviction was held.
I put it out there. And you know what? I'm not going to let anybody forget it. You know that, Nagler, because I'm pettier than Aaron Rodgers.
Oh,
you should put that on a shirt. I'm pettier than Aaron Rodgers by a mile. So I never forget that kind of stuff. You know, if I thought I was an expert, like some people, I'm not going to name because I always keep naming this person. I don't know why, because I don't know what this person says.
Oh, God. It took us 7 minutes. It only took 7 minutes. That's good. Well done.
If I was, I think my glasses are crooked. If I was, I would. What do you toot your own horn or you tout your own horn? I think you
tout
your own horn.
Well, you toot your own horn or you tout your accomplishment. Like, whichever. You would do that.
Yeah, I would be a bigger touter. I would be a bigger touter than I am.
Bigger touter. I like it.
Well, big tout.
Some other exciting news, and this is tangentially practice squad related, although not Packers practice squad related, because the Packers signed a linebacker off of someone else's practice squad. That's right. Linebacker Eric Wilson got signed today by the Packers. Former Viking, actually. He's played a couple different teams. I will say, though, someone reminded me on Twitter, he did play for the Vikings, and he always played well against us. So nice to have him on the side of the right and the good. Clearly, this is probably most likely about bolstering special teams. Another guy who's played a lot on special teams wherever he's been and has been pretty damn good at it. So welcome to the green and gold, Mr. Eric Wilson. Then I don't know, Corey, I don't know if you heard, this is news, you know, since it's the first time it's happened ever. The Packers are traveling to London for a regular season game. How about them apples? First time ever, the Packers going to London to take on the Giants. I'm just going to keep talking until we get the picture up. There it is.
There you go.
Look at that. Look at that. Come on. I had to feature that. That's
do you
so
know
dope.
How many people I talked to in a meeting today? And they were like, so wait, what are you going to London for? have you ever heard about this team? They're called the Green Bay Packers. Yeah. I kind of like them.
They're going to London.
And
I love it.
To be in London.
So I'm going to London.
I was like a little bit wasted on Sunday night. And it was really funny, like after the show, and people were like, "You're going to London? That's so exciting!" I'm like, "Well, I do run the largest Green Bay Packer fan site in the world," and one of my friends was like, "I hate you." I know I'm a douchebag. I'm sorry.
Hardly.
All these bloggers are wearing off on me. all these
bloggers.
All the Bob McGinn cold. Bloggers are wearing off on me.
That's cold, man. I love this factoid. The Packers have been, or the, not the Packers, the NFL has been going to London for regular season games since 2007, and they have never, ever had a game that featured two teams with winning records.
Wow.
Sunday will be the first time that's happened since 2007.
I mean, it makes sense when you always send the Jacksonville Jaguars.
This is fair. Someone said that on Twitter, and I'm like, yep, that like, does make sense.
It makes sense when you send shitty teams that you don't care about that you're just like, ah, Jacksonville. But yeah,
so you
there.
Say that, but to that point, everyone else is gone at this point. Only the Packers have not gone, and still they haven't sent two teams with a winning record yet.
I mean, that's crazy. You know what?
That's
you
crazy.
Know, the Packers and the Giants, people are going to dispute this, but honestly, more so than the Packers and the Bears, the Packers and the Giants are the two most historic teams in the NFL. So it makes sense.
I think they're two of the most important teams. There's no doubt about it. When you talk about the history of the league, and I mean, they've got such a great.
You have to have those two teams to have the NFL. Yes. You can literally
to tell
have,
the story
can,
of the NFL.
You can
yes.
have you right. can have 100%. No other team or a complete roster of different teams, and it doesn't change as right. long as you have the Packers Giants. You still keep that alternate reality.
Well, it's just crazy to me. I just love the fact that with you know the pipeline from the Giants and Lombardi being the offensive coordinator. To Green Bay and getting to Green Bay and Lombardi creating what he created in the 60s. I mean, it's just, I love that. I love that symmetry. The connection there will always be there, obviously. And just the old stories of the Packers coming to New York. You know, the first team to ever fly in a plane to a game was the Green Bay Packers coming to New York City to take on the Giants.
Interesting.
True story.
Not surprised.
Fun times.
Well, they used to make the Giants so much money because people wanted to see that David Goliath.
People wanted to come, much like the Packers going to London. Like, and
Cliff Crystal talked about that. Yep, Cliff Crystal talked about that. Oh, I didn't even tell you this. I got my tickets finally.
Oh, you did for the game.
Yeah.
Well done. Good job, buddy. So you'll be having fun.
I got a good deal on them.
And I'll be in the press box, and I
got
to be quiet.
Yeah, I got them. I knew I was going to get them from a friend, so I got them from a friend. And actually, I'm not going to say it on air, but I could have gotten somebody's box, and I decided not to because I don't know that person very well. So, yeah. So I just we're just going by ourselves. But want to give a shout-out to Brandy. Apparently, Brandy is taking down the trolls in the chat, so got to give a shout-out to Brandy. Thank you for that.
She always
appreciate
does. Brandy, you don't –
I know.
Come up in
just
here
want to give her a shout-out.
And you mess with T-Said TV, you mess with Brandy. Let me tell you. You do not want to mess with Brandy. There is zero question. That is what she does. She will take you out. Finally, last piece of news, just because it's today. We usually do these on Wednesdays, but today we just happened to need to do it on a Tuesday, and it just so happens that it falls on the birthday of one Kenny Clark. Happy birthday, Kenny Clark. I cannot tell you how happy I am that you are a Green Bay Packer. Corey and I were just talking before we went live here about how even on plays where, like, Rashawn Gary's doing something amazing or there's some other great play somewhere else, if you just watch Kenny Clark on any given Packers clip, no matter whether he's the focal point or not, he's almost always doing something amazing.
Yeah,
so
and usually he's doing it against two people. Like, if you look, we were talking about the Rashawn Gary sack. If you look at the Rashawn Gary sack, one, Rashawn Gary with the speed to get around Kenny's bull rush of two guys, because that was pretty fast. Right. But two, the fact that the right tackle is just like, wait a second, I'm in a double team. And he didn't even, it's not of his choosing. He's trying to chip, Rashawn or at least take Rashawn off of the chip. Right. And then all of a sudden, he just gets like sideways bull rushed into by Kenny. And like, all Rashawn has to do is run. Like at that point, you know, it's like Kenny's done all the work. Just be faster than Kenny and you'll get a sack, which that's Rashawn's superpower right now. I feel like if you watch him, if you really look back, he's keying off Kenny. Like Kenny sets the D. It's crazy. It's crazy.
Kenny
has a good play on D. We have a good play.
I'll never forget. Remember when he was drafted, you and I were doing live. I think one of the very first, maybe the first year we ever did a live kind of watch party. I think we only did the first round that year, but we were in this building, but we were upstairs still. And you were in that back office when you had just expanded to, you had gone from like the back of the building. Now you had the front as well. And you had that kind of really rail thin office that we watched up on, we had the big screen TV up top, and I'll never forget, because I wanted Miles Jack so bad in that draft, and Ted took Kenny instead, and I remember being really disappointed that we didn't get Miles Jack.
I know what you're talking about. Yeah.
And Kenny, 1,000,000,000%, has made me completely forget about that. Like, the whole, that was the moment.
What has Miles Jack done?
Jack. Oh, he's a pretty good linebacker. He was with Jacksonville, and now he's with, I can't remember who he's with now. But that's my point. Like, Kenny is an absolute godsend, and I love him. And he absolutely, his selection and the way he has played and become one of my favorite Packers, has that's what completely changed me on the draft. And, like, doing all the stuff before the draft and, like, falling in love with these players and having a draft crush. And then you don't get him, and then you're really disappointed. But you appreciate the guy who just became a Green Bay Packer and who now has gone on to become one of the best Green Bay Packers. Oh, so, yeah, I love Kenny. Happy birthday, buddy. He is a man among boys.
The thing about Kenny the offense is you kind of feel like he kind of feel like there's going – I'm hoping. Okay, this is me manifesting, okay? So let's be honest. Okay?
I got you.
Data to back this up, okay? I just feel like what Kenny is missing, and I feel like we're going to get it this year, is going to be one of those Reggie White takeovers, right? It's like that's the next level for Kenny. That's like the Michelin star 3 for Kenny, where it's like, you know what? I'm sick of this fucking game, and I'm just going to take this goddamn thing over, you know? And the funny thing is, of all the positions in football, defensive linemen, where Kenny plays, that is the most disruptive position in the NFL. I mean, if that person wants you to not have an offensive play, they can decide. And Reggie showed us that back-to-back in the Super Bowl, and I just feel like – I want to manifest that badly.
I'm with you in the sense that, like, if that guy is on, especially along the interior, it wrecks everything. No matter what you're trying to do, whether you run or pass, like, if that dude is on, you can't operate. And more often than not, Kenny is on. And that's why you see so many teams have to, commit resources to stopping the guy, like double teams or what have you. And usually he wrecks those too. So, yeah.
Well, and it's the number one reason, I think, why until this game, you really didn't see the Packers rush more than 4. Very rarely, right? I think, you know, a lot of it is how much can we hang our hat on Kenny so that we can give our secondary and our linebackers a little bit more help. And the truth is, I think Joe Barry is finding a lot. You can actually hang a lot on this kid. So, yeah, he's pretty incredible. He's a pretty incredible player. I would honestly say he's probably the heart of our defense, if you're really truth be told. Maybe he's not the captain, but he's the guy from which everything comes from.
Especially
when you're looking at Joe Barry going, hey, I can depend on Kenny getting a double team here, which is going to allow me to not blitz Devondre Campbell or Rasul Douglas and have them in coverage.
100%. No doubt. He is the beating heart of the Packers defense. But right now, we're going to talk about the offense because we've got some stuff to talk about, including a very rare Rodgers pick six. It's interesting to me that this pick six, different in the sense of like where they were in the game flow, etc., but very similar to the one he was trying to throw to Devontae down in Tampa a couple of years ago, in the sense that it's that long out route, right? They're trying to throw past the hash to the sideline. In Tampa, he's just trying to convert a third down. In this game against the Patriots, it's the end of the first half. He's had a poor first half. They're trying to move the ball, set up something for a score. Man, that's just a lazy decision and a lazy throw. And defensive, but don't take anything away from Jones, the rookie corner. He did a phenomenal job jumping that route. But, man, that's just a bad – that's one of the worst plays Rodgers has made in a very long time. Very uncharacteristic. Although I am fascinated at the soundbite or the quote that Rodgers gave postgame, or it might have been Monday from Matt, but somebody mentioned David Bakhtiari saying something to Rodgers at halftime. Like, about the sense of, like, did not play up to his standard at all in the first half. And there were some words. Apparently David chimed in. And Aaron played a hell of a lot better in the second half. So I'm down with Aaron Rodgers is a 4-time MVP. He's pretty damn untouchable. And I gotta say this real quick. The amount of shit I saw on Twitter about wanting to bench Rodgers after that was insane.
That's hilarious.
Insane. insane. I couldn't believe it. There was a lot of it in the chat on the watch party.
So what? Yeah. So what you're telling? But that was joking, though. So what you're telling me? Some of it. What I heard from all of that is David Bakhtiari is an Aaron Rodgers whisperer.
Oh yes, I think so. I think he's one of the few humans that can, you know, say something to the man and have him listen. You know, I think Tom Clements is in that category. I think Matt LaFleur is in that category. And I think David Bakhtiari is in that category. Yeah, 100%. The big man. The big man knows what's up.
I don't know why this isn't an offense. Okay, it is. It is. I'm transitioning right. Okay, what the hell is going on at right tackle? And why is Elton Jenkins not? Like, what's going on? Like,
all right, here we go.
Everybody on Twitter, you're talking about Elton Jenkins being a guard and that he should be a guard and not a tackle. So is this true? What's going on? Because last season, I felt like he did pretty good at right tackle.
Okay, but here's what's interesting. Is I'm glad you framed it that way.
Too, with David.
Well, no, okay, well, here's the thing, right? I put out there on Twitter during the game, I just wondered aloud, so to speak, on Twitter, whether he came back too early, right? Because he was struggling against Judon with the Patriots.
Oh, yeah, and didn't what's his name respond to you?
TJ Lang responded, and he said, you know, really admire his versatility, but the kid's a guard. Put him back next to Dave. Give yourself, like, a dominant left side of the line, and away you go. Yeah. And at the time, I was like, I mean, I'm obviously going to listen to TJ Lang. I mean, the man's forgotten more about offensive line play than we will ever know.
Yep.
But it was fascinating to go back and actually watch the game, look at my All-22, and Elton actually balls out in the run game. And he actually isn't terrible in pass pro, except for those situations where Judon can, like, pin his ears back. Like the third and eight plus.
Yeah.
Where passing. You got some longer, obvious passing situations where, you know, the defender can pin his ears back and get after him. I was very much like, oh, yeah, it's time to move him back to guard, watching the game live, you know. But going back and watching dispassionately, or as dispassionately as I possibly can as a Packers fan, I'm like, okay, I get he's only three games in. Don't forget he didn't play that first week. He's three games in, coming off a really major ACL tear. And like I said, he's improved every week. Like, he's a hell of a – that game against the Patriots was a hell of a lot better than that week two game against the Bears.
Right, but the Bears don't have a defensive line like the Patriots, though. I mean, they're a much better defensive line than
they
the
have some
Patriots
edge rushers. Kind of, I mean, Judon's one of the top probably eight edge rushers. I mean, he's paid as such. Like, one of the top edge rushers in the league. There's no doubt about it. But it's not like the Bears aren't throwing stiffs out there. But – some of that also was just
no. I'm
like
saying,
I said,
the Bears' defensive linemen are better than the Patriots. Maybe not that. Maybe not Judon, but like the Patriots, right, kind of like one of the, like. Let's be honest, okay?
No, boy.
I am a little bit concerned, and the sun is like coming over my left shoulder.
I know it's beautiful. It's gorgeous.
See Green Bay Packers. So I am a little concerned that, you know, we beat like one of the shittiest teams in the NFL. Like, let's be honest here. Like, literally,
Corey,
They're in the bottom five of the NFL. Like, take Bill Belichick out of the Patriots, and what do you have? You've got a fucking shit sandwich. Let's be honest, you know?
Most likely, but they do have Bill Belichick. He is the Patriots, and they beat him. Now, here's the thing. I understand what you're saying, and I've heard a lot of that this week already, and definitely heard a lot of it Sunday night. And I don't care. It's a W in October, early October.
I'm with you there. I'm with you.
Right now, collect the W's. Yep. I don't care how it looks, collect the W's. I care much more about how it looks in late November, early December. But right now, yes. Was it a little, quote, harder than we thought it might be? No question about it. Now, I think Andy Herman pointed this out on Twitter. You know, Rodgers doesn't throw that pick six. Dobbs holds on to that ball at the end. And it's like 31-17, and we're all like, yep, that's what it should have been. You know what I mean?
Yep.
A player two away, man. It's any given Sunday. You're a ball bouncing one or two different ways, and everything changes. That's why Matt says, you look ahead, you'll get your ass whooped. So I understand that, and I get it, but I'm not concerned on October 2nd how they looked getting a win. Like,
can I just say that Trevor likes you so much better than he likes me? Because he's taking the one box to you a lot, and he's just like, "Yeah, fuck this two box."
I think he's
the last time
he's guarding
against
Trevor
produced
the
show. He was worried about, like, I was getting all sweaty, and so my glasses, and so he was doing such a good job of, like, switching away. And so right. now, like, he produces this show with someone I'm not going to name, but they're in the NFL Network. So he's treating you like that person. Like, you're the talent, and I'm the guest. It's hilarious. I'm like, hey, you know I'm in this show too, buddy. Like, take I love that now. What? You don't like my face right now?
I love that now you've called him out and you sign his checks. It is going to become the Corey Behnke. Like,
the Tupac show. Here, I mean, he doesn't even take me one time. He took me. Oh, there. He takes this. The second time he's taking me one time.
He was trying to protect people from the glaring sun. That's all.
It's going down, you? Nagler. God.
Now it is. First 15 minutes of the show, we've had sun in our eyes. Oh,
thanks, Trevor.
Is it that time? Here we go. Here we go.
Thanks, Trevor.
Oh, yeah.
So you got the ASMR, but you got me holding the can. So there you go.
I love it, though. Oh, so good.
Ooh, now that sun is down, I can give everybody the good Lambo shot. Okay, I can go all
the
way now.
Let's just take this opportunity, since we've paused, to remind everybody, you can grab yourself an ice-cold Carry the G at several establishments around the Green Bay, Appleton, and Milwaukee and Madison areas.
You can. And it's getting replenished this week. We sold out of Madison. We sold out of half of Milwaukee. We sold out of most of Green Bay except Woodman's. Woodman's still has a
million. It's amazing. Oh, and
Woodman's
Rush
was
Center,
like, you're not going to buy us out. Rush Center sold a bunch. Rush Center has it on game days. And we've got announcement actually to make. Yeah, go ahead.
Let's do it. No, go ahead.
Aaron Nagler himself, while I'm in Japan, I flew Nagler to Green Bay. He's going to be in Green Bay for the Jets game. You'll be able to see Aaron in person at the Resch Center. He's actually, you know, I promised the Resch Center a co-founder, so I had to come through. And so you're going to get to see Aaron. And, dude, you're going to get like way more swarm than I was, which is going to be awesome.
Hardly. But 3 hours before kickoff, when the Jets play in Lambeau, coming off that game against the Giants. So, two Sundays from now, yes, I will be there. The Plaza Pit Stop, Carry the G on hand.
Oh,
come
Nagler,
on out,
you
buy
know
some
what,
Carry the you, G, and have a good time.
You know what else is? You're going to have to make sure to pay off your credit card because you're going to have to buy some beers and get reimbursement for them, by the way.
Good luck with that. All right, we're moving on. The young wide receivers are showing up. They're showing up, people.
Yeah, they
the
are.
The young Romeo wide receivers Dobbs. Are showing
Christian
up.
Christian Watson. Dude, that Christian Watson end around. Woo!
Oh my goodness.
That was sexy.
Oh my goodness. If you don't come out of that game excited about the future of these two young men, I have no time for you. If you're there like, Christian Watson didn't adjust to that deep ball, get out of my face. I don't want it. I don't want to hear it. Nothing but excitement for these two young rookie wide receivers playing in their fourth and third game. Like second game actually for Watson. I'm so excited. I'm so excited. The potential these two dudes in this offense. Oh my gosh. The young guys showing up. Gotta love it. Anything else on the offensive side, Corey, before we switch to the other side?
It took us a half hour to get through offense. I'm sorry, people.
You were so upset last week that we went short. So I wanted to make sure we got a lot of stuff to talk about this week. So nothing else on offense, huh? You good?
Yeah, I want the offense to be better, Nagler. I want it to be better.
They've had one good half in Tampa. And they had one good half against the Patriots. Now they're going to have two good halves at the same time against the Giants. That's what's
going
to happen.
You know what's really fun? Like, my most fun times as a Packer fan in life have been when the offense is a juggernaut. And even if the defense sucks, it's fine.
Yeah, but then you get 2011.
Like,
I don't want that.
I'm
no,
fine
it's
with
not.
It.
I
like,
want defense.
It's all
I want
good.
Teams.
I just
I want
to
a complete
see...
team.
No, I don't want a complete team. I want lopsided.
I know
offense.
You don't.
I want.
See, this is my
want...
point.
What's your
what
point?
Do you want? It's all about what you want. What do you want?
No, it's not. I want juggernaut offense. I've already said it. So
I know.
That's fine. Exactly. I'm not going to get it. Like, we're not winning the Super Bowl
year,
with a juggernaut offense. No.
Nope. No.
If we're lucky, QB1 goes back to his fundamentals, and he looks like he did against that first half in Tampa, where after two drives, seven guys have gotten the ball, and the two
five
guys
for five on third down.
Yep, awesome. The two guys that got the ball the most times are named Aaron Jones and A.J. Dillon, and then everybody else gets a little piece, and that's the offense that we're going to live with, and I'm happy with that because I do actually think that could become an offensive juggernaut. But whether, you know, Matt and Aaron decide to stay with that, I just don't think that's where they want to be. So I just don't think that's, you know, to them, that's Michelin star one to them, right? They're like, oh, yeah, we did that. Cool, right. But where we want to be is we want to be making, you know, sous vide fillets with five-step drops and seven-step drops and make Elgton Jenkins get his ass handed to him by a guy who's always going to get him when you got to pin your ears back because you know it's a freaking five- or seven-step drop. So
that was an amazing analogy, by the way. That was incredible. That's well done. I like it. Okay, talking about defense. Rudy Ford answering the call. People, this is a guy they picked up off the street after the Jaguars cut him. And the Packers said, thank you very much. And he's been balling out on special teams. But much like Keyshawn Nixon last week, when Jair went down in the first drive, Adrian Amos goes down on the first drive against the Patriots. And Rudy Ford comes in. And I'm not saying he balled out even. I'm not saying he was great or perfect or any of that. But he came in and they ran the defense and he acquitted himself quite well. I thought he played very well. Like, that's depth, baby. All offseason. All we heard was they don't have any depth. There's no depth. There's a lot of front line. There's no depth. This is what Brian's always talking about when he says it's a 365 day a week year job. You're always looking to add talent. You're always finding talent. Much like picking up Rasul last year, I'm not saying Rudy's going to go to those levels, but that's a very important pickup that no one was talking about because no one saw it coming. But you can bet the Packers personnel people were like, well, you know what? They got a new regime in there. They got a new system. They're probably going to let this kid go. We'll snatch him when he gets on the street. And that's exactly what happened.
There you go.
Balling out. Love it. Love to see it. Now, here's my other goal. So I'm praising the Packers here, but here's where I turn heel.
Yeah.
Do the Packers even care about run defense? I mean, do they care? Do they really care?
No. No.
I mean, at least the coaching staff, like, do they care?
No. There's no way
they care. I don't think they care.
I think maybe it comes from, like, they don't really care about running the ball, so why stop running the ball? You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah. No. I just, looking at that second half, I'm like, you've got to, I guess, a third-string QB. So you're like, we're just not going to let the third-string QB beat us? Like, they let the Patriots do exactly what they wanted to do, which was run the football. Like, into light boxes with two high safeties and off coverage. You could
the
not.
Two high
if you wanted to,
thing is just like, why?
If you wanted to play a preseason game, that was, like, the blueprint.
Yeah, I did anybody challenge Joe? We didn't get Joe this week. You get him on
coordinators
Thursday,
will be later in the week. Yeah.
Fact, Thursdays.
That's a good question. It's usually Thursday or Wednesday late.
I mean, that was pretty obvious in game. Like, bro, you got the third string quarterback, okay?
I guarantee you didn't practice all week.
Yeah, and I guarantee you they didn't do a lot of tape on the guy. They didn't really, practice for the guy or anything. But, like, most people, they're like, oh, you put the rookie in or you put the third stringer in? Okay, we're going to challenge him. And you would think, like, put one guy in the box at least, like, not too high safety. It's so weird.
What's so weird is they kind of did it when the kid first got out there. Like, with the very first drive or two. Romo even mentions it on the broadcast. Oh, they got a lot of guys in the box. Like, they're playing up on the line of scrimmage. Which makes sense. You've got a rookie, fourth rounder?
But also,
like,
who cares?
Make him make the throws in the plays.
So he beats you on one touchdown, and then you go to two high safety. Who cares? Like, who cares? Like,
it's just... I don't get it. Anyway, we'll hear from Joe Barry tomorrow, by the way. Tomorrow afternoon is when he's slated
I'll be flying to London. So I'll be flying, so let me know how it goes.
You won't care. I will let you know. Finally,
are you going to ask him a question? Oh, you can't ask.
I can't. I'm not in town, and they only don't do Zoom anymore.
But wait, you're going to be able to ask questions after the game, right?
In London, yes. Correct.
Yeah.
Although I will say, holy cow, So today we got the list of when they'll be available while they're in London. And holy shit, I won't be doing anything before the game because the Packers availability, Aaron Rodgers is available at the hotel they're staying at, which is like a million miles away from London. Like, it's so far away. Because I was maybe I'll go out, get some availability.
Don't they put press? Like, no. Don't they put the press on a thing to go to the game then? Like they do in
They tell the press where the thing is, and the NFL, because it's a officially a neutral site game. There are like press hotel rooms available, which obviously I didn't get. So because we were going separately. Blah 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 blah.
Yeah.
But it's like a million miles away. I looked at the map today. I'm like, are you kidding me? I have to get on like a 6-hour train ride to get there. Well, I might be exaggerating, but it's a very long way away. So I won't be talking before the game, but I'll definitely be asking questions. Be a very, very long.
It's just weird. No, but can't you? If you go to the hotel in the morning, I think you can. There's a bus that takes all the press to the actual game.
I know they do that for big games, and they've done it.
They
for
do that
Bowl,
for the Super Bowl.
Yeah, but I don't think for this. Well, I will say one of the best, most surrealist experience I've ever had in my entire life was when the Super Bowl was here in New York, and they legit shut down our path in Midtown Manhattan. To go from Midtown to MetLife out in Jersey. That was wild.
Well,
like, it was in the middle of the day.
Here's what's crazy. So
in New York.
So, dude, an even crazier thing there, but totally the same experience. But I was, I guess it was the first time I met Tom Silverstein, Lori Nichol.
Oh, the Super Bowl? Right.
Yep, and we're all on the bus together, and Bedard's on the bus, which I saw Bedard this weekend, Greg Bedard.
Right.
And Bedard is on the bus, and we're passing through where JFK was shot. We're in a police motorcade going through Dealey Plaza. Like, you want to talk surreal? Like, it's like I'm in the press bus on my way to Arlington with all these people that are like all my heroes, you know, Bob McGinn at the time and Tom Silverstein and Pete Doherty. And I'm just like, oh my goodness, this is crazy.
Surreal.
These people hate me. What happened?
No, they don't. Final note about the defense.
I won.
No, not at all. Rashawn Gary proving the Packers right. Remember when we had our live stream, Corey, on draft night? The Packers picked Rashawn Gary. This is what I'm talking about with the whole Kenny Clark experience. Like, this is what it has informed me as a Packers fan, and I watched so many people that night just dog the Packers and say, oh, what a terrible pick it was, and oh, what a bust he was going to be, and oh, he didn't do anything in college, and blah, blah, blah. Now look at Rashawn Gary. He is an absolute stud. Just proving the Packers right, man. Packers kind of know what they're doing. I know they're not perfect. They're not infallible, but they kind of know what they're doing. So that's all I got to say.
Are you sure? That's all?
Yep. You want to preview this game, Corey?
Wow, you put a preview in the script? I can't believe it. What happened?
Literally last week was the only time I haven't, but go off. All right, so here comes Saquon Barkley. Here he comes. NFL rushing leader. Probably going to get the ball like 400 times on Sunday. Can the Packers stop him?
No.
I don't know.
We can outscore them, though. But we can't stop.
That's the hope. Barkley. That's the dream. Depends which version of the offense shows up, I guess. But
it's just the reality. Whew,
Barkley's going to be a problem.
I feel like we're going to. I really feel like we're going to do well in London. I got this feeling.
I do too. That is the feel I have. But you never know. I will say it kind of reminds me. Remember leading up to that game? I think it was AJ's rookie year. Was it Thursday on a Sunday night against the Titans, and it was snowing. And that whole week leading up to it, it was like, oh, Derrick Henry is going to run all over the Packers. Like, it was like you could not go 30 seconds without some talking head or some blog post or some Twitter being, oh, Derrick Henry is going to come and absolutely decimate the Green Bay Packers. He is going to claim lordship over their lands. They're going to rename it Derrick Henry Field. Like, he will... You'll have to rename your firstborn child after Derrick Henry. Like, that it was like ridiculous levels of. And they absolutely shut Derrick Henry down. AJ Dillon's coming out party that night. I'm hoping that's the case on Sunday, because I can't handle living in New York City with my Giants friends who just are just begging for Barkley to run all over. I've already gotten two texts from
Giants
people this
fans,
week
okay,
talking about
okay.
how they're just going to go
this
crazy.
This is not going to give me any friends in New York, but I feel like Jets fans are way more diehard. Giants fans are way more bandwagon. Let's just be honest, okay? Let's just be honest about it, okay?
That is true. Okay. That is true. There's zero. You have not said anything out of turn, out of touch, nothing. That's it.
Every Giants fan I've ever met is like a legacy, and they don't really care.
Okay, I don't know about everyone, but you talk about diehard.
Everyone
the Giants
met.
Have gone to Super Bowls. Giants have
everyone,
won championships
everyone I've
in
met.
This lifetime. Like the Jets, if you're still a Jets fan today in 2022 and have been for any length of time, yes, you are diehard, and you are way more diehard than most any Giants fan I know. I'm not going to say every Giants fan, but
the Giants
most of
did
them.
Have Phil yep. Simms, though. So, and he
won a Super Bowl. He won a Super Bowl with Phil Simms.
Ugh, Phil Simms, man. Phil Simms, fine as a player, but like, get him off broadcast. He's not a broadcaster.
He should
stick
be.
A fork in him.
Yeah.
He's done.
You're right about
he's
that.
He's been done for like 20 years. Also,
how
long are we going to see Terry Bradshaw and like?
Oh,
like,
it's
are we
dude,
ever?
That's been
get...
over for years. What
Bro,
are we doing with Terry Bradshaw?
Are we
doing?
Just gonna like? Are we just gonna make like mannequins of Terry Bradshaw and Howie
that he's literally
seeing
for the first
Jimmy.
Time ever while he's watching?
They're going to be robots, bro. Your kids are going to have kids, and they're going to watch Fox NFL Sunday, and they're going to be AI robots of Terry Bradshaw, Jimmy Johnson, and Howie.
Nope. Can't do it.
Like, what are
can't
we doing,
do
Fox? Get some new people. Why can't we just
crazy.
Get any new blood anywhere in broadcasting? Like, television is going
wait.
And you can't get any new blood anywhere. It's crazy.
No. Hey, what do you mean? You have Chris Collinsworth's son over there at NBC. Good
the fuck
Lord.
Out of here with that.
He did that podcast for PFF. I think it was for PFF, maybe NBC. But he did a podcast with Richard Sherman where he kept calling Romeo Dobbs Romeo Weens. Like, my dude, my brother in Christ.
Dude, I saw that.
At least learn the name.
I
names.
Saw that. Romeo like, what Weems.
Doing?
What a fucking idiot.
Romeo Weems.
I mean, I'm a fucking idiot, but God, at least I'm self-aware enough to know that I'm an idiot. But it's like, it's really fascinating to me. I know we're off the rails, but it's like broadcast television.
Totally off the rails, but it's fine.
Can we please, like, you know, when people talk about diversity in broadcast and radio and how the people making decisions are the people that matter, we have got to stop with New York, Connecticut, and North New England producers producing all of these shows for all this television, because all we're getting is the same fucking tired garbage on television in the NFL. And I know we're going to watch no matter what, so I'm not one of these people who's like, I'm not going to watch anymore. But nobody watches the pregame. There's a reason why, you know, Tom Grassi has 350,000 subs on YouTube, and like people come to us and they're like, oh, I don't even, I mean, so many people came to me and like, we're a fucking bunch of idiots. So it's like the fact that people actually are coming to us versus like television and experts and stuff, it just says a lot about like the lack of, you know, just
well, the paradigm's the same, right? What blows my mind, right? I remember when we very first started this, and I just started making inroads with NFL films and getting to know people at 345 Park, and like I was just starting out, right? And I would go to the NFL broadcast boot camp, or they call it something else now, but out in NFL films out in Jersey, and it was like, here's your preparation for how to be a broadcaster, right? And essentially, it was how to do everything that you've watched on television growing up and to repeat it for all these guys who've played in the league, which is now basically what you have. When you tune in on Sundays or whenever, you have the play-by-play guy and you have the color commentator, and they're all working off the same framework. Yep. And it's like, can we just do... Some, I mean, anything else.
Well,
now,
and Manning Cast, to be fair, like Manning Cast,
I was just
going to
say.
Yep,
There's a little bit happening now.
Everything Peyton Manning is doing and other blogs.
Multicast in general. ESPN was ahead on this. I'll give them props for the college football championship.
Yeah, but ESPN, Fox, NBC, and CBS are way behind NFL Network. So NFL Network, my only big problem with NFL Network is the white dude podcast with Greg that I've bitched about, where it's like every white old guy you've ever met talking about football and not one black person, which I just think is ridiculous, right? But otherwise, NFL Network does a good job with diverse hiring and a mix of people and a lot of black former players, and like they do a really much better job. But like CBS, NBC, Fox, and ESPN, I mean, it's just like, can we just get rid of all the producers that work there? Because they're just, whoever's casting is just not any good. I'm sorry. Like, nobody's watching because of the people that are casted. And that's sad because you're losing viewership. And like, it's funny, like Amazon's answer to Thursday night is the same old shit. I mean, Al Michaels, really? The guy's 95 years old. He's one of the best in the business, but he's 97 or something. It's crazy. It's crazy. Yeah. Also, Bill Belichick being 78 should not be able to coach in the NFL. There should be a cutoff. There should be an age cutoff like there is at the Packers. You should not be able to coach in the NFL after 70. That's dumb. I'm sorry. That's dumb.
We took so many turns in the last 5 minutes. I don't even know how to even keep up. That was amazing. We went from
And then we
went to Bill Belichick, and wow, incredible. Let's just get to the next segment because it's time. It is definitely time.
This week in the Packer blogosphere.
That's right. It's This Week in the Packer Blogosphere, the return of that venerable series. Corey, I want to give someone a shout out. You know, every once in a while, we turn our gaze here at Cheesehead TV to people outside of our sphere, right? Our personal, you know, we know these people, we like these people, we invite them over to your place for drinks during training camp, etc. But right now, I want to give someone a shout out who I think doesn't get trumpeted a whole lot on the Packers beat, hasn't really gotten much of a fanfare upon her arrival, but holy mother Mary of God, I want to give a shout out to Cassidy Hill with the Green Bay Press Gazette and Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, working for Gannett. She's essentially doing the gig that I was doing years ago when I was on the beat, but doing it at such a high level, a much better job than I ever did. She is so good at what she does. She's so good. Follow her on Twitter if you're not. I highly recommend it. She does a really good job of finding like different angles, different ways of bringing you what's going on with the team. She's not, you know, obviously not the most garish personality on Twitter, what have you, but she is very, 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 very good at her job. She had an excellent video that she had from the locker room, Robert Tonyan, today. She had it up on a YouTube short on the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel YouTube page. So well done. Just a great idea as far as like how it felt to catch a touchdown for the first time since his ACL injury, since so long since he did it, etc. It's just a little easy thing in the locker room, makes a little video and does some captioning, and it was so good. And she does that kind of stuff all the time, whether it's getting guys to play games in the locker room, etc. Like, so well done. And also, can I just say, help her out, follow her, start consuming her content, because look at this poor Cassidy. I mean, here she is pre-game.
It doesn't say how many people are following her, so they don't know.
I know. Well, I'm telling them to follow her. Oh, because look at this. Look at what she has to work with. It's
look
pre-game.
Look at Tom Silverstein.
She's bringing the energy. She's like happy to be there at her job trying to connect with Packers fans. And Ryan Wood and Tom Silverstein are looking at you like, I would like to be anywhere else but right
Tom
here.
Tom Silverstein, he always does that. It's so great. He used to do that all the time. He'll just look at you like he just hates being there. And he doesn't realize that you're streaming. And you're like, bro, do you even watch these back to see
but
how much of a...
But that's the thing. She's talking in that clip. Like, sometimes there's moments where, they don't know or it's just starting or whatever.
What if I did this
but
show and I just
she's literally introducing them at that point. Look, Like, poor Cassidy. I mean, she's got to work with these dour dudes who just don't want to be on camera. Like, I just shout out to Cassidy. She's so good at what she does. Yeah. Hey, nothing but love. Don't turn this into something, people. Nothing but love to Ryan and Tom. They do great work. But
oh, I'm doing Tom, not Ryan. Camera. I'm doing Tom.
I know you're doing Tom. I know you're doing Tom.
Spoon's like, it's hard to do. He's got the best resting bitch face you've ever seen in your life. I mean, it's incredible.
Oh, I love it. I love it.
I mean,
so
it's
much.
Like anybody else is working so hard to make that face. Like the face that he like go right. back to that clip. No, seriously.
Just,
go back to the go back to the
naturally.
One of Tom. Like look at how like he's look at his mouth. He's just like, "I fucking hate that so much. I'm going to kill myself."
I just shout out Cassidy. I mean, she is pulling her weight. She's doing her job. She's trying to bring the connection, trying to bring the energy. And these dudes are like, "Can I get back to the press box, please? I don't want to be on
Can camera. I please write my story that no one's going to read?"
All right, relax. Boop, boop, boop. But shout out Cassidy. Shout out Cassidy. She's so good. Also, shout out to anybody going to be in London this Friday afternoon. Corey, I've been waiting so long to say it. This Friday, not a couple Fridays from now, not next Friday. It's this Friday, October 7th, 4 p.m. at the Dog and Duck. Join Corey and I for a pint. And there's a rumor the intern might be there. I heard, like, now we've been burned before. You know, we've been told, "Oh, yeah, guys, I'm going to be there." Yeah. And then he doesn't show up. So
it's so true.
I'm not going to, like, you know, overpromise and underdeliver, because we try not to do that at Cheesehead TV. But I heard the intern will be there as well. So join us for a pint, people. Friday, October 7th, this Friday at the Dog and Duck in Soho. It's my favorite pub in the whole wide world. Do it, people. It's going to be a lot of fun. Hope to see you there. Corey, why don't we get some super chats? Because I've seen a few coming across.
Yeah, before we do, I just want to give a – hold on. Dudes. I just want to give a shout out to Conup Meats in Stangleville.
Stangleville, baby.
Okay, here's the thing that's crazy about this place, okay? The best campfire wieners in Wisconsin, period, end of story, which means the world, by the way. The best hot sticks. So the hot sticks are crazy. And the best bratwurst in Wisconsin. Come at me, fight me. I don't care. I have other people. I have 90-year-olds who will fight you about this. I have 80-year-olds who will fight you about this. I have Michelin star chefs from Milwaukee and Chicago that will fight you on this. Like, everyone agrees once they have a Stangleville brat. So they do not sponsor us. I just want to give them a shout. I keep meaning to wear their hat because they're awesome. They don't think they have a one-star review on Yelp anymore. So,
oh, sorry. No, wasn't it a Google review or some nonsense?
Yeah, it was a Google review. I don't know. I think that was a plant, by the way. I think Tyler did that on purpose.
Tyler did that on purpose. That's no doubt about it. Let's get to
all
the YouTube.
We got the first
super
one.
Cats.
Luke Carnes, thanks for Super Chat. Have so much fun in London. Have a beer for me there. Cheers. Carry the G. So thank you,
Salud,
Luke.
Brother.
Since I can't buy Carry the G in San Diego, I ask that you buy a 4-pack and have them for me. Enjoy. Thank you, Luke. Appreciate you. You know, 4-packs at
Luke.
Woodman's are they're 10:41, but we got it with the two super chats. But you know, the other thing is, nobody tell anybody this, but. You know, if I do know of someone who shipped some Carry the G to London. So we'll see. We'll see if it made it. It wasn't me.
See if it makes it through customs.
I did not fill out the customs form. My name is not on it anywhere. But Seth Seymour, thanks for the super chat. Outside of Preston and Gary, how are the OLBs, outside linebackers, doing?
You know what's funny is I think Garvin has been perfectly utilized in the sense of needing some bulk early against the run, keep guys fresh. Enigbare, he's played well. The rookie has shown up again and again on the limited number of snaps that he gets, the film that you can get to watch. I think it's only a matter of time so they start giving him a few more opportunities, because I think there are opportunities there for him, especially – again, if you want to keep those guys fresh, your frontline guys in Preston and Rashawn. The one worry I think with the rookie is holding up against the run. Probably going to get targeted in that regard if he plays early downs or a lot of early downs. But for the most part, he is kind of, not want to say picked up where he left off this summer, but He's played well in limited opportunities, and I would think you'd see more of him as this year goes on.
And we got too old for this. Thanks for Super Chat. I've never been to Lambeau, and I'm buying myself tickets as a 30th birthday present to myself. Which game should I go to? Jets, for sure, because you're going to see Nagler. You'll be able to get a carry the G at the Resch Center. 100% Jets, plus we're going to win. You're guaranteed a win. I didn't tell you that, but, you know, that's the game.
I would suggest the Rams game, but that's just me. It's a Monday Nighter. It's going to be a national game, nighttime. You got all day to party. It's going to be a lot of fun.
Jets game. Do the Jets game. Dustin Logan, thanks for Super Chat. Bears haven't played in London, and no one in London is disappointed. This is about to legit be home game. Agree with you, Dustin. I hope so.
That's not true. So. Bears have played in London. But, yes, the Packers are going to dominate, no doubt.
Technically, this is a home game for the Packers, even though the NFL wants to call it a neutral site, by the way.
Just it's going to be a home game. Whether the whether the NFL wants to call it one or not. It is definitely going to be a Packers
Ryan game. Willie, thanks for Super Chat. Can the Packers stop running the HB draw from this SG?
From the shotgun, the halfback draw? I don't hate the halfback draw, actually, if they ran a traditional draw, right? But they keep doing, like, they're trying to run a zone thing out of shotgun. And, yeah, it can be frustrating. But I can also show you plenty of cut-ups where they're really successful with that play. I mean, don't forget, yeah, the other team gets paid too, and they do sometimes shut it down, but it's who they are. It's part of their identity. It ain't going away anytime soon.
Anita Dubre, thank you. Brought home a four-pack to Connecticut. Thank you, Anita.
There you go. What's up, Anita?
Anita posting online during the weekend. Appreciate that. Ken Hansen, will Aaron have a carry the G with each Patreon member, one per member? No, that's not how it works. I actually had I had one carry the G with four Patreon members, so it was run.
Corey trying to guard against me getting totally fucking wasted before watch party starts.
I'm not at my house, so we need to pace yourself. Ayahuasca, thanks for the Super Chat. Just need to vent a little on JB game plans on D. Way too much talent to let a no-name rookie with a run game make it look too easy.
I'm with you. Been talking about it all week. It's annoying as and I'm very interested to hear what my brothers and sisters on the beat have to ask Joe Barry tomorrow when he's available. Because, my brother, what the hell? I don't know, man. I'm with you. I'm as equally frustrated.
We got Heath Soder. Soder, did the Canadian judge mark the Packers down on winning style points again? That guy always with the Edmonton Elks. 1978-82 Grey Cup run being more impressive than the 1960s Packers.
Okay, relax on that last part. But, yeah, clearly the style points don't add up, unfortunately.
Dude, nothing in the NFL compares to the 1960s Packers, so why the hell would any bullshit-ass Canadian...
He's making a joke. I get it.
Oh, he always likes to trigger me, Trey. Game winner, Trun God 714, thanks for Super Chat. Game winners, one down, two to go. Love me some Mason Crosby.
Mason Crosby. Shout
Tom
out
Tom Grossi with the 25K subs hypey. Thank you
all
for
right.
noticing,
relax,
Tom.
350K.
Okay, here's the
yeah,
thing.
Yeah,
here's why I put this. Here's why I put this. Because basically, Tom, if you ever want to keep getting an NFL game feed, and you know here's the thing. Last weekend, you were fine. And you know how New York is. There's always like two or three games where all of a sudden they're like, oh, no, you can't have that feed. We're going to go to Giants or whatever. You're going to need that Green Bay feed. So I need to see the subs increase in order for you to get the game feed. Okay, buddy? Debbie Downer, thanks for the Super Chat. Jay Reed needs to play more.
Does he, or does he need to play better to play more? Deep thoughts with Aaron Nagler.
Overshadow Sean, thanks for the Super Chat. Overshadow Sean on draft night. Draft anyone but Gary. He's the only player I don't want. Overshadow now. Shut up, Sean. So glad to be wrong. Yeah, it happens to the best of us.
I feel you, brother. I feel you.
It happens to the best of us. Q King, thanks for the Super Chat. Send me the Super Chat. Hello, I can't speak. Can we show love to Banky's favorite special team?
That's right. Special teams, baby. Special teams are balling out. Hell, special teams, last play of the game to win it. Let's go, special teams. Well done. Well done.
Here's the
good
thing.
Job, Q.
If you're talking about special teams, something's wrong. Con Krug, thanks for the super chat. Part of me wants to win Terry Bradshaw's money and just give it back to him. Dude, you just need to go. This briefcase full of cash should help.
What's so annoying about it is, like, there's so many times where he's, like, literally reading highlights where he has no, like, he's never heard of those players. He has no idea what the play is. Like, he's
because he has no talent. So,
I think he had talent. Like, he was talented as a broadcaster back in the day. But he's gone. He's done. It's over. It's over. It's over.
He is the – here's the thing. One, like, if you look at, like, the best talent in the world, they understand – they're aware enough. Like, real talented people are self-aware enough to realize when they've become, like a caricature of themselves, right? Like, dude, Al Pacino doesn't go around being a caricature of himself unless he knows, and he's self-aware about that. So is Robert De Niro. I saw this thing where Jamie Foxx knew that Al Pacino was a really good actor because the first time he ever met him, he was nothing like he was in real life, you know? And right. So it's like, if you look at Terry Bradshaw, it's like, dude, he totally has bought into this whole caricature of himself that now he's just like a – he's a cartoon of himself at this point. It's sad.
Corey, I'm trying to wrestle with the fact that you just compared Terry Bradshaw to Al Pacino and Robert De Niro.
No, at the highest level. But at the highest level, but think about it. Like, but don't we want our
broadcasters? I understand what you're saying.
Like John Madden, I compare John Madden to Al Pacino. I think John Madden was as good at what he did as Al Pacino's is at what he does. They're very different things. Right?
1,000%.
But like our Pat Summerall, right? But it's like, you know, even when John Madden, like, he never thought his shit didn't stink. That's what always made John great, right? Because he was humble enough to understand at all times.
He knew who he was. Yeah.
He knew who he was. Doubt. Terry Bradshaw thinks he's a cartoon. John Madden never treated himself like a cartoon. Yeah, he did stupid shit. Oh, right. That turkey leg's got six on there and all this stuff. But he knew the joke, and you were in on it with him. Yep. You know what I mean? Like, it's just different.
I agree with that.
Alex Pryor, thanks for Super Chat. How come you guys don't have guests on anymore?
Because they're boring for the most part. We do when it's special, and we will.
Yeah, special.
We'll have guests on this year. We had Matt on last year. We had Cliff Crystal on last year. Like, we'll have guests on. But more often than not, it's just boring. Like, you come into a YouTube show, and it's like, here's Player X, and Player X gives you the real unvarnished, or no, the varnished answers, and you talk about the game, and you talk about their life, and, like, the thing, and then you move on. And it doesn't add anything. Corey and I had a very, I don't want to say deep, but a very specific conversation about this a couple years ago, where it was like, no, man, like, we love talking about Packers football. We always have. That's why literally this show began. We love having players on. We love having coach on. Like, we love those things. But if they're special, like, everybody, especially in this day and age where legit now, especially coming out of the pandemic, everybody with a YouTube chat is like, oh, I can just Zoom with this player and send them a link. Yeah. But then half the time the player is like sitting in an airport going, oh, yeah, really happy to join you guys. Oh, wait, what? Oh, yeah, okay. But like, that's not compelling. So we love having guests on. We will in the future. We have in the past. But if it works, if it's special, and if it's cool and additive, not just because we want to do it, you know, just to do it.
Trust me, if Coach wanted to come on every show, we'd have him on. Heath Soder, 100%. Thanks for the super chat. Two guys doing a watch party helped save my marriage. Showed the wife that other people are thinking and reacting in a way that is similar to me. Great work, guys. Thanks for nothing, Joe and Troy. That's funny. Wendy Vance,
Soder,
thanks for the super chat. And also, I'm going to get – Wendy had a question, so I pulled that too. Does anyone else notice how Aaron Rodgers called the timeout on third down and then comes in and gets sacked right away? It happens almost every game. Let's get out to
the God. Now I really want to make that trip to the hotel on Friday where Aaron's availability is going to be so I can ask that exact question.
Aaron, did you know that – the
Wendy, no.
You gotta
preface it with Wendy Vance wants to know.
Wendy Vance paid us $4.99 to come all the way this way and ask you. But no, then you can be like, did you know that the last 4 out of 5 times you called a timeout on third down, you get sacked right away? Do you self
right away?
Are you self critical?
Self scouting this? What's going on, buddy?
Do you think this is a thing?
Look, I don't know. Look, all I know is that yes, the timeouts are almost always annoying as hell. Like, Lil Ton has not been torn apart yet this year, but I'm sure he's going to be. Look, they just want to get it right. And if they get into a certain call where they don't have options, and that does happen, then Rodgers is going to call a timeout. And then, yeah, probably get sacked. It's annoying. It's not changing.
Jacques C., thanks for the super chat. If there's anything Joe Barry can learn from, is the Chiefs when they pressured Love last year. Go, Pack, go.
I mean, right? Right? Look at Spagnuolo in that game. It's like, oh, guy making his first start, I'm going to send the house. Because guess what? He's probably not going to know how to handle it. And you know what else? The whole front didn't know how to handle it because they don't have Aaron Rodgers there going, okay, we're going to change the protection. We're going to do all this. Yes! God forbid you dictate.
You know who we should have on, to be honest with you, is we should have David on because David Bakhtiari, because he'd probably give us he would give us the unvarnished stuff. That's my thing. Like, I love talking to Kenny and David, and I love talking to Trevon because they give us a little bit. No, he's in that, but he'll still give you a couple
McAfee
nuggets.
Now, you know, he doesn't want us. He's not going to be. He's too big for us. He's too big time for us now.
That's true. Amy Gooding.
Dave's gotten too big.
Thanks for the super chat. Have a beer or three for me in London. Thank you, Amy. Thank you. Appreciate
Thank you,
that.
Amy. Really appreciate it.
Jonathan Hale, hate asking because I root for the guy, but has the Amari experiment at Returner run its course? Thanks to the super chat.
Ooh, baby. I don't know if it's run its course, but I got to think they're looking.
I don't think.
I got to think they're looking. You're always looking to upgrade, right? I think they're looking, no doubt.
If you look back, he had a couple big yardage plays. They weren't.
No, he had some. He's had some nice returns. He's had some really tough looking returns, but I got to think. Man, you're not playing from scrimmage, and you're offering precious little as a returner. Doesn't bode well. Does not bode well for young Amari, no doubt.
Too old for this. Thanks for Super Chat. Jets game it is. Sorry, Negs. I guess you'll have to meet me.
Wah. I'm in, buddy. Can't wait. Let's go. Go, Pat, go.
New Schmoo, thanks for the Euro Super Chat. Really appreciate that. Really looking forward to the Packers playing in London. Hoping I can get to the pub on Friday after work. Carry the G, go Pack, go. Thank you so much.
Let's go, baby.
See you. We, again, are going to be in London. That's all I got. People loved when Charlie Behrens was on. Charlie Behrens is way too big for us now, though.
He's like, she said TV.
What's that?
But he's great. Love Charlie. I remember the first time you ever discovered Manitowoc Minute before he became Charlie Behrens, but like you sent the link to me of one of the very first ones he ever did, and you were like, I am dying, this is great. And
he
it was
needs to bring that back is. I thought he was gonna do that every Packer season. Like, he's so big for that. He's like way too big for
I know
that.
But now he's too busy. He's making like TikToks and reels, and you know, he's an influencer now.
Imagine like, if I was ever Manitowoc too big Minute. For this show, though. That's just funny.
I mean, you are too big for the show, but you still grace us with your presence. So that's
no, but I'm not really, though. That's the thing I'll never be, because it's like no, but that's the thing. It's like, dude, Manitowoc Minute made him, and now like he doesn't do it anymore. Like the last Manitowoc Minute was like 3 months ago. I need more. I need more Manitowoc Minutes, Charlie. Maybe I'll do some videos to beg him to do some more.
That's a really good idea. Should absolutely do it. Oh, anyway, as we move on, coming out of all those amazing super chats. Let's give a shout out to our Patreon members. Patreon members, you guys are the lifeblood of what we do here at Cheesehead TV. We cannot thank you enough. Thank you for all of your support. Be sure to check the Patreon page. The information for the meetup in December is on the Patreon page for our members. It's going to be a lot of fun. Charlene has outdone herself. I didn't think it was possible, but this meetup is going to be even better than last year's. Hope you can join us. It's the Sunday before the Rams game on that Monday night. It's going to be baller. It's going to be a lot of fun. Thank you, Patreon members, for your support, especially since we started the Patreon page during the pandemic as a way to like kind of say like we're all in this together. We really want to help kind of grow this community, and you guys have responded in the biggest way. We really appreciate it. And speaking of appreciation, big time shout out to everybody here on YouTube and the Carry the G Club memberships.
Ooh, look at that new logo for the Carry the G Club that Brent made.
How about that? Brent does not mess around.
Brent was like, oh, you guys need a logo better than the Canva one that Nagler made in his sleep.
Hey,
that's nice.
Hey, Nagler's trying to help out any way he can.
I like it.
As he marches on.
I like
this. This is so good. Nice. This is so good. killing it, killing the game as usual, Brent. But thank you, most importantly, to the Carry the G membership here on YouTube. You guys are baller. You guys are hilarious on game day watch parties, really getting involved with the emojis. It's a lot of fun to watch. Thank you so much for the support. Corey, you got anything else, buddy?
No, I just want to win in London. Can we please just
That's right, you do. Come on, let's go. That'll do it for this episode of Packer Transplants Live. We'd like to thank everyone who makes Cheesehead TV part of their daily Packers routine. We are and will always be devoted to Green Bay Packers fans worldwide. We'll see you in London.
I think it's a fluid situation, and we're I know you guys love it, especially Nagler. I can see you smirking at me right there. We're going to take it one day at a time, and just it's going to be fluid, though. That's all I can tell you.